I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I tried to come into God's presence. I used all the keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "My child, why didn't you knock?" I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on grey and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He answered me, "But you didn't seek." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. We're continuing our series this morning on prayer, and we're thinking about the priority of prayer in our lives. Prayer is one of the easiest of disciplines to talk about, and yet it seems to be one of the most difficult for us to exercise on a regular basis. We can become so preoccupied with life that trying to set time aside to pray doesn't seem to fit into our schedule. I should guess we all wish we had more time to pray. But there's getting up early, there's getting the children off to school, there's an 8-hour job to do, there's dinner to prepare, homework, there's getting the children to bed, then crash. It's exhausting. Even when we're retired, there's shopping, grandchildren, gardening, hobbies, naps, and holidays. As the old adage goes, where did I find the time to go to work? So in all of this busyness, where on earth do we find even an extra minute for a prayer life? The truth is that our schedule is largely driven by our priorities and what we hold most valuable. Just think about the time that each of us spends watching the television, scrolling through Facebook, playing games on electronic devices, all kinds of other things. There's one author I read when I was preparing that said this with some amusement, that no one ever died of hunger because of not having enough time to eat. Yeah? We always make time to eat, don't we? Life isn't slowing down. I'm sure we've all recognised that actually life is doing the complete opposite and it's speeding up. And that's precisely why we need to take time to pray. So a lot of you will have heard this. It's said that Martin Luther, for those of you who don't know Martin Luther, he was a German professor of theology. He was a composer, a priest, a monk, and he was an influential figure on the Protestant Reformation. And he declared he had so much to do that he couldn't get through the day without spending at least 3 or 4 hours on his knees before God each morning. Unlike him, when we're tempted to think, we're sort of tempted to think, you know, when life slows down, that's when I'll take time to pray, when everything settles down. But a Christian author called Jean Fleming wrote this. He said, "I find myself thinking, when life settles down, but I should have learned by now that life never settles down for long. Whatever I want to accomplish, I must do with life unsettled." Because if we think we're going to leave prayer until life settles down, guess what? It's not going to. It's really easy to push prayer to the bottom of our spiritual priority list when all of the daily to-dos seem to control everything within our lives. But we can do it. And what I want to do later on, I'm going to do this in two parts, and I'd love you to think now. I want us to encourage each other and to help each other. So the second part is going to be you, really, because I'd love us to share our experiences about prayer. So when we have busy times, when we're busy, I'll share when I used to leave the house at 5:30 and drive down to my job. I'll share how I managed to do it. But if there's ways that help you that we can share with other people who might be struggling, that would be so encouraging. So sort of get your thinking caps on. So I said it's so easy to push prayer down to the bottom of our priority list, but we can make time for prayer. And in fact, making devotional time a priority can help us in it can help everything in the rest of our days. And it helps it to, I always find, I know if I haven't prayed in the morning that my day does not run as smoothly as when I do. And I'll put my hands up now. There are some days when I don't pray, when I normally do, and I'll maybe do it later in the day. But if I don't, I have to do it first thing in the morning, because for me, then the day just falls into place. That's not to say things don't happen and it's rocky, but it really does help. Now we need to slow down. Prayer shouldn't be one of those things that we skip or that we set aside when the day gets busy. In fact, it shouldn't even be on our to-do list, because it should take priority over anything, over everything, and over everyone in our schedule. So my confession to you is this morning, I don't struggle with prayer, but I don't struggle with priorities. Yeah? And I guess most of us do. We struggle with our priorities, don't we? One of the reasons for our priority problem, I think, is that we forget that we are dependent creatures. Every breath, every success we have, and every good thing that we have comes from God. But the problem is that sometimes we can so easily trust in our own giftedness and in our own past success, actually forgetting that those as well have come from God. As Christians, devotion to prayer reveals our dependence upon God. And one of the reasons that we should pray is that we need God's help, don't we? We cannot live this life as he calls us to do without God's help. And if we don't pray, what is it saying to God? I think it's saying that we're full of pride. We're trying to live this prideful life because we don't need God. We think we're okay doing it on our own. And that has a detrimental effect on us. It has a real detrimental effect on our spiritual walk. If we're not coming into the presence of God and seeking his power in all that we do, clearly we think we can do without him and that we don't need him. Just like any relationship, if we don't talk to a person, we don't know them. And it's harder to get to know them, and it's harder to love them. And it's the same with God. If we don't talk to him or we don't listen to him, we're never really going to get to know him. And what's that going to do with our desire to actually love him and follow him? Prayer is one of the most important activities in our lives, because we're actually talking to the sovereign God of the universe. As Trevor preached on last week, what a privilege to come before the sovereign God of the universe, the sovereign God of all things, the God who has made you in his image, the God who sent his son to die for you, the God who loves you beyond your imagining. He understands how we feel. He knows what we think. And he's got power to intervene in every area of our lives. And our quiet time with him empowers us to face the challenges that we're going to face each day. And when we make prayer a priority, we reap a whole list of benefits. We reap comfort, guidance, confidence, so many more things that we reap when we come before God. But an intimate and effective prayer life never happens accidentally. We must be intentional about it. Believe it or not, the one who taught us to pray had a remarkably similar life to our own in some ways. Jesus was an incredibly busy man. Now, in the Gospels, there's some debate about this, but they record only about 50-odd days of Jesus's life. But what a whirlwind of activity is recorded in those few hundred hours. And we're going to pick up on one of those now. So if you'd like to turn to Mark chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 21 to 37. Some commentators have said that this was the busiest day in Jesus's life. I'm not sure that I would necessarily agree with that. I don't know. But that's just what some commentators have said. Some of them will actually include Jesus calling his first disciples. But I'm not going to start. I want to start at verse 21. And then I'll go through to 37. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Can you imagine having the whole town gathering at a door where you are? And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." That was a non-stop day of ministry. Can you imagine how Jesus would have felt at the end of it? Supposing you had been involved in that ministry. Let's remember that Jesus is fully human and fully divine. So he's going to feel tiredness like we do. I just can't imagine a day like that. It begins in the morning, and by the time most of us would have called it a day, and in many respects it was just the beginning for Jesus. It's a day crowded with teaching, with driving out impure spirits and demons, miracles, healings. It was a day totally dedicated to reaching out to people and ministering into their deepest needs. And Jesus didn't turn anyone away. And yet, while most people were in bed asleep, Mark 1:35 tells us, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So after that day, Jesus chooses to rise early and prayed. He must have been exhausted. If we're honest for ourselves, what would be the most inviting thing? Staying in bed. Yeah? If we're really honest with ourselves, isn't it? And saying to ourselves, well, I guess I'll just skip it today. It's only a day. But not Jesus. But you might say, well, yes, he was Jesus. Well, he was. But even the Son of God knew that he needed that daily conversation with his Father. He needed the strength, the direction to perform the works of ministry that could only come from having that intimate relationship with his Father shared through prayer. It was the one thing that he did at every given opportunity. He prayed because he loved his Father. He also prayed because without prayer, he couldn't go on. He says in John 5:30, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Jesus was spending time with God, so he knew the next thing that God wanted him to do. Remember, he said he would only do what he saw his Father doing. So if he doesn't spend time with God, how is he going to know what his Father wants and what his Father is doing? He needed to hear what the Father was saying to him on a daily basis. He sought the Father's will on a daily basis. He put aside his own will on a daily basis. He put aside his opinions on a daily basis. And he was caught up with the Father on a daily, hourly, and minute-by-minute basis. And if Jesus needed prayer, boy, don't we need it more. Yeah? If Jesus needed to pray to go to the Father, how much more do we need to spend time with our Father? The truth is, things are never going to slow down in our daily affairs, but taking time to pray in spite of the busyness, will transform our experience, our lives as followers of Jesus. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. You are never too busy for us. God is never too busy for us. If you think what God must have on his plate, just think, we are a small gathered community, fallen, broken people who God is in the process of restoring us to be perfect. And we're just a tiny little fraction of everything that's going on. And God knows it all, and God loves us all and cares for us all. He hears all our prayers, and he's never too busy for us. I think I could end there. Doesn't it say it all? He's never too busy for us, but so often we are too busy for him. When Jesus was with his disciples, he met all of their needs. But there was a time when Jesus returned to his Father and his disciples were left on their own. What did they have? They had the Holy Spirit. They had prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. And that word devoting suggests it was a priority for them. They were clinging. It suggests that they were clinging on to God in prayer. And when you read through Acts, you see what happened when the early church gathered together to pray. Amazing. The 120 gathered in the room. God sends his Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The disciples praying for wisdom, knowing who to replace Judas with. And when Peter and John reported the Sanhedrin's threats, they gathered together. God's people gathered together and they cried out in one accord and in boldness. And the place was shaken when they prayed. Wow, wouldn't that be something if we came together in a corporate prayer meeting and the place shaked? Wouldn't that be something? The church prayed over the seven men appointed to serve the widows. After James was martyred and Peter imprisoned by Herod, the church prayed together and God miraculously delivered Peter from his cell. And while the prophets and teachers were praying and fasting, the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas. He set them apart to go on their first ministry journey. And when Paul and Silas were praying, God sends an earthquake and we see the conversion of the jailer and their release. Prayer isn't a matter of our personal convenience. Prayer isn't something that we just fit in the spare time that we get after we've done everything else that seems to be so important to us. Prayer requires sacrifice. It means that we're going to have to discipline our lives during the day to make time to pray to God on our own and together. Everything we do that's worth doing, everything God wants us to do in the church, everything God wants to do in our lives, he's made subject to one thing. He's made it subject to prayer. And I came across this little paradigm when I was preparing this morning, and I think it embodies a crucial truth concerning our prayer lives. It says, what we do for the Lord is entirely dependent upon what we receive from the Lord. And what we receive from the Lord is entirely dependent upon what we are in the Lord. And what we are in the Lord is entirely dependent upon time we spend alone with the Lord in prayer. Prayer is central to our lives as Christians. It's impossible for us to do or to be anything that God wants us to do or wants us to be apart from spending time in prayer. So having said that, and having said what I've said, how can we encourage each other to make prayer a priority? How can we encourage each other in the busyness of our lives? What works for some of us? Solitude. So when do you manage to have your times of, how do you find times of solitude, Doreen?
Well, I'm in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of time to spend, and my time is first thing in the morning in the bathroom.
Hmm?
With the shower and all the other.
Yeah. That's your prayer closet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, Anita.
I'm walking the dog. I'm
Walking the dog. Yeah. 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 I know that's one thing Jo does. She'll go for a walk first thing. She does it for health as well. But it's really good when we're walking, and especially when you see creation as well. You see that, I mean, it's hard when it's dark in the mornings, isn't it? But when it's a day like today and you start to see buds coming through and everything else. What I used to do, and our life group, Ken was saying the same, that what I used to drive down the A1 most mornings to work, and I'd be up really early to get into the office early. But I found my time was once I was on the A1. Now, I know some people say that's not ideal, but for me, it was that time. I didn't have the radio on. I knew it was a straight road. I could have almost driven that road blindfolded the number of times I've been up and down it. But that was my time. And Ken was saying, when he used to work like that, when he got onto the M1, it was his time. I know it's not ideal, and there are distractions, and we should be focusing on where we're going. But it worked for me, and God is gracious, and I didn't crash. And I used the journey back to think about what was happening at night, because some nights I would go straight from work onto an elders meeting or something. So I was preparing myself for what was happening in the evening as I drove back. Again, it's not ideal, but it's finding those times, even maybe at lunchtime, just finding time at lunchtime to, you know, I used to have my sandwiches at my desk and, but just to even find 10 minutes there, just to, it's about slowing ourselves down, isn't it? And finding that time. How about people who are retired? In some ways, people will say, oh, you've got loads of time. But I know how busy it can be. Yes, Tony.
Maybe solitude. But I'm not very good in solitude because I hear every bus that passes the window.
Mm.
But Kath and I, when we married, took on a routine. First thing in the morning, as we wake, we read together and we pray together.
Mm.
We encourage one another in that way. And I think sometimes that has built our marriage and built us. I know it's not applicable to everybody.
No.
But if you can find someone else that you can pray with on a regular basis, it has to do some good.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I think the thing to do is do not take your phone into your prayer closet, because it is so tempting just to open it up and think, oh, I've got some emails there. And of course, what do? You look at the emails and you start. And then prayer goes out the window. Or you see, oh, I've got 4 Facebook notifications. I'll see what's going on. And the devil loves it because it takes us away, doesn't it? So it's trying to train it's sacrificing and training ourselves. It's a discipline to actually, the first thing I do, and it will be different for all of us, I'm sure. My first thing is I'll get myself a coffee and I'll go and sit down and I'll just be quiet. I light my candle and I just be quiet. And then the cat sits on me, which is really good because it's a lovely picture actually, because as I stroke and he purrs, and I just have this picture of me sitting in God's lap almost, just sitting with God. And it's so lovely that I'm almost purring in his presence. it's just that love, you know, he's so at ease and at peace. And I'm thinking that's what it's like being in God's presence, isn't it? That's what he longs for us to do. Now I know some of you actually get a cup of tea in bed and have your quiet time in bed, or, yeah, some of you do that, yeah? You guys do, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. And it's really good. I find it helpful. I'm sure a lot of us do, doing it first thing, because it does, I really believe it does set the day up. But for other people, does anybody have their quiet time later or a different time of day? Because we're all quite different. Yes, because your lives have changed dramatically, haven't they? So
we used to be first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
But now we see the children to school and then we go and sit in our conservatory.
Yeah. So you've got that time. And yeah. Yeah.
It's our playtime from half past 8.
That's what the kids call it, your playtime. I love that. Yeah. Yes. Yes, Peter.
When I'm retired, what I like to do is to find at least one minimum lodge of time during the week.
Mm.
And I will have Bible, prayers, prayer books, and the song books.
Mm.
And one of the things that I would want to put into this is that very often when we're together, there's a prayer upon there.
Yes, I was going to say about singing prayers, absolutely, yes.
And I'd like to put myself into it as a prayer.
As a prayer, yes. That's because the other thing I used to do, and I was going to say, because when I sometimes put Christian songs on, and actually you can, there is so much in there to use as a prayer. We have so many, we don't need to buy any books, but we've got so many prayer aids that we can use. Just take one of the Songs of Fellowship books home. And when, you know, so when we're worshipping, we're also, it is like we're praying at the same time as well. And so there is so much for us to use. And there's all kinds of resources in the little carousel there. I think that there's even one little leaflet about, praying when you're busy or something. But it's just, it's trying to find those times. And we all have times in the day, don't we, that we can use. Whether it's, whether we're, even when we're going to another appointment, if we're walking to an appointment, or we can use that time just to think about what we're going into and to ask God to be with us as we, how many years, but you know, just to ask him for the right words and everything else. So I tend to do that as I sort of drive between, if I've got different meetings or seeing people or tiny or whatever it is, I try and pray for that specifically as I drive to it. But it is that, it's having discipline, isn't it? And as humans, we're not the most disciplined people, are we? No? I know I need to lose weight. I know I need to exercise, but can I get myself to do it? No, at the moment. I'm not disciplined enough. So, you know, with all things, we have to, because we are so busy, we have to think, what are we prepared to give up? What aren't we prepared to do in the day for a little bit to give up? I'd love to say I'd give up on emails, but it doesn't quite work, does it? You can't even be still in his presence, can you? I know. It is, isn't it? Yeah. And there are so many different ways to pray as well. You know, we don't all have to come in with our list. The other day I had so much on my mind that I just sat. I put a reflective song on and I just sat. Just wanting to hear what God was saying into one or two situations. And so, you know, sometimes we don't have to say anything. Because God knows exactly where we're at and how we're feeling, and he knows exactly what we need. But I want to encourage us to try and find that time on a daily basis, if we can do. But if not, there's, as Peter was saying, Peter finds a block of time where he'll spend more than maybe some of us if you add our little bits up. But it's a really good time with God. And actually we do need to give him time. It's no good us rushing 5 minutes sometimes, because that's not fair on God, is it? He's with us 24/7 through all eternity. So can I encourage us to just spend time reflecting on how do we spend our time? What are our priorities? What are our sort of to-do lists? And then just finding ways, asking God how, you know, just trying to find those ways to draw close to him and have that. It's all about having an intimate relationship with him, isn't it?
Can I just say?
Yes, Heather.
If I want a real long block of time with God, it's no good doing it in my home, because everything shouts at me. Yeah.
Mm.
So I try and find someone who is not going to be using their house, and I'll go and sit there, to say, track a couple of hours. And there I'm not shouted at by the washing up that he's doing, because it's not like theirs. So if anybody wants to come and use my house, any time for a lot of time, that would be great. I'm very thankful that with the Impact Workers, we're going to have a retreat day this Thursday at Anne and Mike's, and they very graciously allow us to go in. And we've got the whole house downstairs and the garden to use, but we can then just concentrate on listening to God.
So can I encourage that Saturday morning that Russ and Carol are going to provide for us? It's that time we can come away and spend quality time with God. So there, all the leaflets are on the table. So can I encourage us to take the most of opportunities that we're given? We're going to sing two songs, but I if anybody would like prayer. If, you know, if there's something that's hanging over you, if you're really struggling to find time to pray and you would just love somebody to pray with you, take the opportunity. Nobody's going to judge. I mean, I'm the world's worst for it, because when I was at Fresh Dreams, I knew I had to go up for prayer, but I didn't want to until my wife got me in the ribs, and I think Kevin and Anita said something from behind me. But take the opportunity. There are people here who will pray with you. So, if there's a heaviness about you, if you're struggling with prayer, if you're struggling with your journey at the moment, then please come and receive prayer.